Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello and welcome back. Thank you so much. Welcome, welcome, welcome to, yeah, it is. It's the Mission Accepted Show. Isn't that like the coolest name? Because I know a lot of you out there have accepted many missions. But the mission of an entrepreneur, a creative, an ultrapreneur, people that do many things, is very interesting because it's the kind of project that you take on that has a life of its own. And once you accept the mission, and once you say yes, and once you take that decision and somewhere inside say yes, and then it starts to go into action, honestly, all unforeseen things start to unfold. I really believe it's the true definition of providence. And nothing better. We have an amazing artist with us today. I mean, there's multiple things that she does in her sector, and I'm going to let her talk about that herself. But you know, here's the interesting thing. When I spent 30 years hanging out and working with entrepreneurs and what we now call ultrapreneurs. And really, truly, we all are all creative. You know, when you build a company or you write a song or you produce, it's a piece of you that's going out. You're putting yourself out there. And so a lot of times people think of singers as singers. They think of actors as actors. They don't think of them as entrepreneurs. But trust me, they go through the same dynamic of getting themselves known, you know, right? Getting themselves known, kind of putting themselves out there, getting themselves branded. They got to do social media like we do. They have to learn things like we do, you know, learning the financial part of a business. So I really, really wanted to make sure that all of us had a platform to be able to talk about. And I tell you, I have met the absolute coolest woman, and you are going to hear from her today. And I met Dani through a very interesting serendipitous, you never would never know. I was talking to this really cool movie producer down in LA, and we'd had a great connection. We were chatting, and I was telling him about an event that I'm going to be participating in 2023. And it's another whole podcast, but myself and my girlfriend walking across Ireland to raise money for the music industry, because as you can, if you know Janis Joplin, you'll know that's a nice 1967 poster in the back. And if you're listening on the podcast and not watching, then you won't be able to see it, but it's very cool. And so we were talking about music, and he's like, oh, no. You have to meet this amazing woman. And this amazing woman is with us today. So I don't want to take any more further time, but Dani, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. And it's so nice of John to like do this for me.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we got to do, right? That's what we got to do. And one thing leads to another. You never know where it's going to go. And really, after having a conversation with you, that was so much a part of what I heard in terms of your story. Like this door opened, or you were knocking on this door and that door wouldn't open. But then, you know, like you always wanted to meet Keith Urban or what have you. And then all of a sudden you met him in this arena and things
not
like that.
Not in the way I expected. I wasn't expecting to be covered in rain and drenched and my mascara running.
Okay, now you're going to have to tell that story. So everybody, here is Dani Stefanati. I'm hoping to make sure I pronounced her last name correctly. Dani, welcome to the show, and maybe tell people, who are you? Like, what is it that you do, and what's your story?
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for inviting me. My story, I mean, I've come from one of the smallest little beach towns in Perth, and it's one of the most isolated capital cities in the world. And I didn't grow up with any like musical parents or anything like that, but I had country music in my family. My great uncle was a songwriter. He wrote a hit called Red Back on the Toilet Seat. And I did get to meet him further down the road. But my journey, I was basically just touring the outback for most of my, ever since I dropped out of high school. I knew I didn't suit the formal teaching of school and I wanted to be an artist, but I knew that music is really what I wanted to do. And I gave up dancing. My mom took me out of dancing when I was very young. I was doing tap, ballet, jazz, all of them, and I came last at everything. Everything I tried, it just wasn't for me until I picked up the guitar, and I haven't put it down ever since.
Wow. That's really interesting, right? Because when you think about it, I mean, I think we could all relate that our parents or that have children, and you're like, oh my gosh, my daughter's coming in last. This is probably going to break her little heart, right? And the decision to take you out, honestly, I went through that. My daughter was, she was in ballet. Nerves that would happen for her before the final performance, and everyone always wanted her. Teachers are like, please, we want you to be the lead. We want you to be the main actor. And she's like, I love being the backup. Like, it just was her place to shine. And so I remember that whole process. And as a parent, it must have been such a decision for your mother to go, okay, what's happening here? And then for you to pick up the guitar. So tell us, you pick up the guitar. Mm-hmm. It feels like home, it sounds like. And then where did you take it from there?
Well, like, I was eight turning nine. And my mom just knew that wasn't my gifting. I couldn't quite learn the parts like all the other girls. I picked it up really quickly. And I was just a daydreamer of a kid. I just couldn't learn that fast when it came to movements. And so she tried the guitar. We found this gentleman that was teaching in his garage. And he had Marilyn Manson and Kiss and all these like heavy metal bands. And he was supposed to be a very good teacher. And mum called him and said, hey, can you teach my daughter? She's only eight, turning nine. He's like, no, too young. Her hands will be too small. And, you know, that's too young. I don't take on students like that. And my first lesson, and I learned an Eagles song and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And he was like, yeah, I'll take her on. And then I started writing songs literally a couple of weeks later. So, yeah, it just, you know when it feels, you feel like you're passionate about something. And it was like instantly it had my focus and I didn't want to be anything else.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, people, when I say that's amazing, it's amazing because so many people spend a long time trying to find that feeling. Yeah. And whether it's amazing or how, you know, glorious for you to be able to have that experience and that knowingness at that age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kudos to your mom to being able to recognize that for you. So people that are not watching the video and aren't making a guess about your age right now, so how old are you? So people like, you know, they may not know who you are. How old are you right now? Yeah.
Well, I'm actually 32.
Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. So 32 and you've already been playing all this time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It kind of feels like walking.
So you start songwriting by the time you're nine, you're playing guitar, you're learning Eagles and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Yeah. That's got to be part of a movie someday for sure. So where did you take it from there? I mean, that's not like you're not like making a decision and doing the marketing and the branding or whatever. So what happened from, you know, 9 years old to the time where you decided to like move it to where you are now?
Well, it wasn't, unfortunately, I wasn't blessed with, my face was a bit mixed up when I was born. Well, when I was about nine-ish, I had the most crooked teeth you'd ever seen. And my mum's a beautician and she used to be waxing ladies and say to, I would sing for them as they're getting waxed and they would say, shame about her teeth. She's not going to make it as a singer, you know, but I wanted to be a songwriter. I think my voice wasn't very good. So I really had to work at that, but it just kind of happened organically. I didn't think I could make a profession out of it or anything. But when I was about 12 years old, I went with my dad to Tamworth Country Music Festival. And I realized that I had some kind of gifting in songwriting because I started winning awards and I started getting all these spots where basically I was not at school very often because I was always gigging. I was always getting like opportunities to fly out to with Glenn Shorrock and do shows. And it became a point where my schooling was going down. going down the drain because I had so much opportunities with music. And it wasn't until I got to my 30s that I started realizing like my music isn't my identity. Because I always used to think like the guitar and music is who I am, but as I've got older, I've realized it's like just a part of who I am, and I'm lucky to find it. But yeah, I've been able to, when I moved to America, I've been able to find myself out here a bit more, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. That is cool. I mean, I think that's part of it. Your gift came so young. So that makes perfect sense that that would be, and I think a lot of us go through that process. I think it was really for me late 30s or actually, yeah. No, yeah, about 36, 37 when I finally had the epiphany, and it happened actually in a holistic treatment with my teacher from India. And wow. we're doing this big, it wasn't a ceremony, but it was a 6-hour treatment. And part of the treatment is, you know, you're covered in this clay and it's called a Kaya Kalpa and it's from Ayurveda. And at a certain point, she starts bringing in energy, like just conversations. So she's like, bring in anyone that you feel like you need to forgive, bring in any situation you want to talk to. And then she's like, well, let's bring in your business. And I was like, what? She's like, well, let's bring in your company and talk to your company. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was the first epiphany that I was not my company. Because when you're a creative, it's like, I'm not my artwork. I'm not my, you know, that is an aspect of myself. And it took me that long to recognize that. I was like, so I had a little talk with my company. I was like, okay, excuse me. I think that we could be doing a little better in things. But it was very much like that. I was very taken. I mean, I was raised on country music. My first album was Glenn Campbell. And people sometimes used to make fun of me. And I'm like, oh my God, Kenny Chesney's playing in Las Vegas. Let's go. They're like, yeah, have fun. My daughter says that I'm a city girl with a country heart. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Stagecoach. I hope Stagecoach, we get to go to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, so here you are, you're making your way, you've decided that it picked you. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what are your dreams around your business, or what are some of the cool things that have happened to you so far? What have you had to do as a musician to make your way, much like an entrepreneur has to make their way in their business? Like, you know, what about that rain story where your mascara is pouring down your face? Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I used to think when I was 12 to 20, I used to think the only road to success is getting on a reality TV show, getting some exposure, and then bang, you know, I won't have to worry. I can just tour. Won't have to stress. You know, I can write for other people and do it that way. I thought that was the only road to success. But you know how they have a lot of celebrities on the Voice and X Factor and all those shows, which is great publicity for people. I used to, one of my favorite guitar players growing up was Keith Urban. And, you know, he's quite a bit older than me, but like I looked up to him as a player, and he was also from Australia. So he was the main person I could be like, wow, I wish I could do what he does. And so I didn't get aired on some of those reality shows. And I thought, oh, like, you know, that just means I just need to be behind the scenes as a writer. Like, it's just not going to happen for me.
Yeah.
So, so my mom used to get devastated. Like, she was in the bathroom, like, ah, like, you didn't get in. And she was, like, so panicking about it. And, but we didn't know that years later I would end up singing for him in Nashville on a couple of days of me being there randomly on a trip. And it was in the pouring rain. He just finished a show at Bridgestone Arena. And I had my Gibson guitar with me, and he actually signed it, this one. And, he just came out after his show and heard me singing for a bunch of people. And he was standing in front of me, and I was in a tropical dress. It didn't even match. Like, it was freezing cold. And I remember having like pimples that day. And I just imagined when I met him, I would look really pretty and, you know, have a microphone at least. But no, it was freezing cold. My mascara had gone everywhere. My hair was flat. I looked a wreck. And that was the day I met my favorite guitarist. So yeah.
Isn't that always the way? Isn't that, it's like, that's the mystery to life. You know what I mean? But, you know, we put it out there, you know, I want to meet Keith Urban. I want to, you know, and, you know, sometimes the universe doesn't quite hear the same picture we have in our head. They're like, okay,
yeah,
well, here's your opportunity. So, So that was great. So he got to, you got to meet him, and
yeah, it was, it awesome. Was a great moment. But from then on, that didn't lead to me like directly working with him, but it helped me be able to move out here and get all my letters together and move in the direction that I've always wanted to be. And ever since I was a little girl, I did see myself in America, but I always thought Nashville. But it's funny how we were talking about the biggest surprises.
Yeah.
And my biggest surprise I've had was, in a good way, was where I'd be located. I never saw myself in Los Angeles. And I actually had a quick visit when I was in my, you know, early, I was about 24-ish. And I was like, nah, this is not the city for me. I can't see myself here. I was like, I don't like it here. And then, you know, when it got to about 20 or 28 or 29, that's when I moved out here. And I have met some of the most genuine, beautiful people inside LA and an hour out of LA, country people that live in California that are like, have treated me like family. Like, I have met some of the greatest people of my life out here. So,
yeah. Isn't that amazing? And that's a great surprise to have. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, you came from Australia. That's mm-hmm. that's quite a trip. And so picking where you're going to land, I imagine, was an important decision, you know? So that's those leaps of faith. That's those mm-hmm. sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you don't know. And when you start to say yes, things like that start to happen. And I'm sure there was times and tribulations, and you talked about, so you know, you thought what reality shows did you go and try out for, or what was that experience like? Because there's a lot of people that are listening to this that, whether it's a TEDx talk, whether it's a stage, whether they want to be a dancer, a singer, an actor, and they go do the reality shows, or they get on the TV shows or the game shows or whatever. What was that like?
I won't say the exact name of the shows just in case because of the contracts, but I do know I learned a lot out of them, but I was never aired, and I feel like there's a reason for that too. But I went through a few awkward, like, I dressed weird at one stage. I just always put it back on, like, I'm just not good enough. Mm-hmm. And I never thought, like, I was enough until I stopped auditioning for those shows and just did my own thing and just started producing my own music and doing everything from scratch. I realized I am enough. I didn't fit in a box, but I just didn't know what I was yet. Like, I was trying things out. I'm an artist, you know? But yeah. I do think those shows suit certain artists. But for me personally, I just like felt a little uncomfortable in that whole, like, I like to wear what I want to wear. And I usually like to perform my own songs. And I learned a lot and I met a lot of cool people that were also contestants. Just, yeah, I'm so thankful that I get to like create whatever I want to create now. So, yeah.
Well, and I think, I mean, isn't that truly being a creative? It's one of the things that we as creatives or entrepreneurs or artists like is a sense of identity and a sense of freedom. You know, there's something where you break away and get to create your own pieces, whether you're sculpting or painting or what have you. And that's why when you walk into an art gallery, some people are like, are you kidding me? Like, I would never hang that in my living room. And I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure they didn't paint it for you. They painted it for themselves. And so there's things that we're really drawn to. We're like, wow, that's really my style. I relate to that style. So, I mean, that's just a colorful world, right? So here's the thing. Your career has expanded. I'm sure when you picked up that.
I didn't expect that.
So tell us about the expansion, because I think you've got some pretty cool things going on into the arena of film and movie right now. So share with us that stuff.
And that kind of stems into country music, but I always thought, you know, I'm going to be a singer, songwriter, guitarist, and that's all, you know, I'm just going to stick to that, and that's what I am. But then with the acting and film world and producing and all that, like producing music and producing film, like, has kind of stemmed into that. And also being in LA, it kind of goes together, which is so exciting because I love networking. I love meeting people in the arts. I didn't realize how many people in the film and music world are tied together. And so we've got a few projects coming up this next 3 years, and I can't say the name of the country music star, but we were talking about it, but I will be playing this artist. But yeah, we're pitching some to the major streaming networks this year, and yeah, it's exciting. And I've also got a script called Danny's Paper Dreams that you guys should, it's getting quite a bit of attention. So you should check that out on IMDb. And yeah, hopefully we'll get a few of my favorite artists on board with that one. And I've got a few actor friends that we want to create a film for them too. So we're putting things together for that. And yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, the expansion of it. And so I can't say, and I'm not going to say, but I know the country music artist that she's talking about. And let me tell you, this artist is adored by many. And I'm so excited. And of course, we'll absolutely bring you back on the show.
Awesome.
I'm sure, hopefully making the most amazing announcement. I'm sure everybody will know and hear. And it's such an incredible, incredible opportunity. As a singer, if you were to give advice to people that are just starting to find their own voice and wanting to make a way in this industry, what are some of the things that you would like to share with people that are just kind of breaking ground or thinking about coming in? What's, you know, can you give them some home court advantage? some advice?
I think the biggest things that helped me on the roller coaster of the music industry or entertainment industry is listening to your intuition and your gut. I used to rely on my parents to tell me, you know, who should I go with? What producer should I work with? But as you get, you know, more in tune with who you are, you can, it's just like discernment and standing by your beliefs and say, not saying yes to everything. It's like saying no to more things than you say yes to, and like surrounding yourself with people that you want to be like. You know, hanging out with guitarists that are better than you so that you can become, you know, you should feel like you're a terrible guitarist next to them. And then that's a good room to be in. And get rid of any toxic energy in your life and just create the music that you feel is most aligned with who you are and your beliefs. And yeah, don't feel like you're going to get canceled for it. You know, just stand firmly on that. And the money will come, the opportunities will come if you're like radiating a palette of art that is authentic to yourself, you know. Yeah,
that's incredible advice, not only for your industry but honestly for life, right? And no, really, we always
I've
say,
made you know, a lot of mistakes. I'm still learning, but you know.
and we do, you know. And I think as you start to get a little more seasoned, the mistakes start to get a little less painful because you've already had them. And so you can get to the place where you're tweaking, or you recognize a possible challenge before it gets to be a challenge, and you can make another decision. But you can only get wisdom when you get wisdom. Do you know what I mean? You have to have those experiences and have people, like you said, around you. Like, people have asked me, like, you know, how have you gotten to where you've gotten to? And I'm like, coaches, therapists, business coaches, mentors, I mean, you name it. It's like hanging with people that know more, that do more, and learning enough to know that if I don't know something about an area, I'm going to hire an expert.
Exactly.
Or I'm going to go talk to an expert. And one of the things that I love when I was listening to you is that you didn't stop asking. Like, you didn't stop exploring. I mean, you have a very beautiful, radiant glow about you. And I know that those who are listening to the podcast can't see that necessarily right now unless you're watching at the same time. And they can go check you out. But you have quite a glow about you. And
thank you.
I think that you have definitely learned the ask, you know, like putting it out there. I want to meet Keith. I'm looking for this. You are asking, whether it's the universe or whether it's people or what have you. It doesn't seem like you're afraid to put yourself out there. And I think that's, you know, obviously part of your success.
Oh, yeah. You have to be direct.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm too direct. But I used to be very shy. But as I got older, I learned, no one else is going to do it for you. I've put myself in some stupid situations. Like, I've knocked on doors. I've gone into studios with my tapes. I want you guys to hear me. I'm the next Jewel. You got to hear me. And it gets me in trouble sometimes, but I don't care, you know?
Well, you know what? Wouldn't you rather be in trouble than not known? Yes, that's right. I mean, at least you're being talked about, right? At least you're like, who's that crazy girl? Who let her in the front door? Don't ever let her here again. Who was that? Well, her name was okay. And so they're going to hear and they'll see you and like, oh my gosh, look at you walking across the, you know, the red carpet. I remember saying no to you. Damn.
What was Lisa made an impression. It's like a bad Drew. It's like a Drew Barrymore moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here it is. You've got some movie stuff going on, you know, you're writing your own songs.
Oh, and for you other artists, I forgot to tell you that one.
Yeah, no, tell us. Okay, sure.
Yes, there's an artist that was on The Chosen movie, which is the biggest Christian movie series. Oh, is it TV or TV series?
Yeah.
To come out. I don't know if they filmed it in Texas, but anyway, I've been invited to write. We just finished writing a song for one of the singers that's on that show. So that's been really cool. And she's based in Nashville. So yeah, all these exciting things in the CCM world, the country world, and LA.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You're going to have to let us know. And obviously before we go, you're going to be telling us how to, how people can get in touch with you and how to follow along. And we're also going to be, just so you know, my audience that knows, we're starting to release it. We're doing, myself and a colleague of mine, like I said, we're walking across Ireland to raise money for the Music Association. And we're not just walking across the country. We're literally walking 10 marathons one day after the other to raise awareness, support, relationships, and financial support to the music industry because, you know, we both love music and we both have a belief around music that I think it's one of the most powerful vibrations in the world. It doesn't matter your age, your color, your gender, you know, what kind of music that you love. We all have a song that when we hear it, makes us feel good, you know?
Yes.
And so we think that the world needs lots of that. Absolutely. And so supporting all music and we're working with an organization. Yeah, that's in 19 countries and hopefully even more so by the time we finish this. And so if you guys go to the Instagram, They Did It Tour, we're going to have Dani just being able to put her journey on there as well. So you're going to be able to follow her on there. But honestly, Dani, tell these guys what your Instagram handle is and other places they can reach you.
You might have to type it because my name's kind of hard to say, but it's Dani Stefanetti. You can follow my Instagram, Facebook. I post all my latest, shows and everything on Instagram. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, and we're also going to have your information on the show when this show releases, and we're going to do lots of social around this as well.
Awesome. So thank you.
Tap into that.
That's very inspiring, your marathon, but you're going to lose too much weight. We're going to have to take you out like a humongous dessert bar afterwards.
Well, I'm sure we're going to, you know, it's going to be first of all, it's a walking 10 marathons, but I'm sure when we land at the pub at the end of each night, there's going to be a lot of food for us to eat and fuel up on. Thank you for that. And then we're going to end at the Cliffs of Moher, which is just going to be an absolute board. We'll keep people. So people will be able to have you know, you'll be on the Instagram there and we'll be able to keep on top of what it is you're doing. Before we go to the most exciting part of the interview, and that's going to be able to hear that amazing voice of yours. Aww. Can you just share with our listeners? I mean, obviously you've had some incredible experiences, but when you made the decision, when you took the mission on to make this your personal mission, you know, you could have been amazing at guitar. You could have, you've got it in your family. You could have stayed in Perth. You could have chosen a different life, but been an amazing, amazing, you know, sing within your community. When you took that mission on to kind of make it bigger and better for yourself, like that's what you wanted, what has been, and I know there's been lots, but if I was to ask you the question, what was the thing that was the most surprising? What was one of those like moments, like, I never thought this was going to happen to me, or I can't believe I'm standing here and now? Like, can you share with us one of those magical surprises that happened from saying, I'll take on the mission?
Well, I have always liked risk, and I'm kind of addicted to getting no's. So it makes me work way harder when I get rejected. So it's moving from my hometown, which was comfortable by the beach. I know everyone there. I have a house. I you know, have everything I need was becoming routine. And I knew I had to push myself to not to get famous or successful, but to get successful in a different way. So like find who I am and put my musical art to use. And the best way I knew how is to, I got a, you know, a call to sing out in LA, and I just had to say yes, because I knew in my gut feeling, like my intuition told me that, you know, this is the place I'm supposed to be. And I prayed a lot about it, and I knew that even though I personally wouldn't have chosen that city, I knew it was the right thing for some reason. I can't explain it. The biggest surprise I had was pre-pandemic. I've always loved makeup and jewelry and all that, all of that. But I realized that there's a lot of red carpet, you know, glitzy stuff happening in LA. And I thought it was like the coolest thing. But after the pandemic happened, I started to like get rid of a lot of my clothes and realize that I still like makeup and jewelry and stuff. But I realized that it doesn't really matter. And I've met a lot of real people on the farm and in the area, like Redlands. And I've realized that, like, even my guitars, like, they don't really, I love playing them, but I used to put so much focus on material things. And when I let that go, like, after the pandemic, I realized we're all in the same position. We're all going through the same stuff. And it's just, like, a beautiful time to be alive, because there's just, I don't know, everybody's feeling, like, looking for hope. And I don't know, this, I feel like it's a really good place to be. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. And I know we only have you for a short time. So we're so like blessed and grateful, but you've decided and that you are willing that to share some of your music with us today. So would you like to play that Keith Urban signed Beauty of a Guitar there and share some of your words really, and then awesome. We'll, yeah. And I know for you guys that aren't, you'll be able to watch this live, but you'll be able to listen to it as well. So go for it, girl.
I'm going to do my latest song because I usually like my latest ones the best. I've got two songs for you. I'll start with a Time Paused and then a 17 Stars. But this next song, I watched the movie Serendipity and it kind of inspired this song. It's about that moment that you meet someone, you don't know you're going to fall in love with them, but when they walk through the door, you just have that time pause moment, like the world stops, everything stops, and that's kind of the idea behind this song.
Okay.
Snowflakes falling on my window pane, romance books down by 4th Street Lane, lovers look at each other through the rain. As I'm passing to the train, I had reasons, but I am not a reasoning feelings, the kind that don't want to leave new meanings. Now everything reminds me of you. I've been floating, I've been my own thoughts, the time paused when you walked through the door. Oh, I knew I was yours, the way time holds. Packing up boxes and moving to upstate. Tell myself I don't feel for you anyway or anymore. Yet all the time I'm pretty sure you're always on my mind. I know roads lead to you. I had feelings that I'm done with the reasoning feelings. The kind that don't wanna leave new meanings. Now everything reminds me. I've been floating, I've been my own thoughts, the time paused when you walk through the door. Oh, I
How many times do I have to tell my head when my heart knew all along? And how many times do I have to tell my head when my heart knows where it goes? I have reasons, but I'm done with the reasoning. Feelings, the kind that don't want to leave no meanings. Now everything reminds me of you. And I knew I was yours. Yeah, I knew I was yours. The way time pours.
Oh my gosh, girl. Oh my gosh. There was parts when you were singing, I'm like, oh yeah, she looks like, oh yeah, she could do.
That's I love writing love songs. I don't know. They're so easy to write.
I could see that for you. I could see that. You're kind of oozing the goos and the love. Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Now, did you want to do your, did you say you wanted to do a second song or?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Let's do a second song and then you guys will wrap up with a little bit of information for you and, so exciting. Okay, here we go.
Well, this one is called 17 Stars, and I wrote this during the pandemic on the farm. And it's the first song I've ever written about an apricot tree. And when I did a bunch of shows in 2021, all the people of Redlands now know this, like the people that come to my shows all sing this song. It's really cute. So it's one of my cheesy little love songs. Yeah.
It's your signature song, girl. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Love the way that we argue on a Monday. It only takes 2 hours before we make up on Monday. And I don't need flowers. People are so divided, but I know who you are. And we don't need titles, babe. Just be who you are. I got 17 stars above me, and a God who really loves me. We'll start a family in the summertime. Got a lot of faith in you. I got 17 stars above me. We'll start a family in some time.
That's amazing. I mean, I had to make sure that I didn't start singing. I'm like, you're on a podcast. Keep the voice, keep the words in your head, Deb.
Are you memorizing it?
Yeah, I've got it. Trust me. I love singing country, and my kids, that's who I sing to, is my kids.
So,
I'm just blown away. That's incredible. I can't wait to see. I mean, we're going to be doing some great stuff, and you're going to be all part of it. And so this is just the beginning of letting people know and letting our audience know who you are. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, Dani. It's so incredible.
Thank you for the amazing work you do. I got to know you on our first call a little bit, and it's just so inspiring what you're doing and how you're helping other artists. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Well, so thank you so much. And you know what? Listeners, viewers, you're out there and you're like, you are an entrepreneur. You've accepted a mission. You are an artist. You're in media. You're doing that solo journey. If you feel like you've got something to share on the show, please reach out. There's different platforms that Mission Accepted Media has. It's books and podcasts and endorsements and all sorts of really cool stuff. So if you've got a yearning, I mean, clearly this woman knows how to knock on doors. So just reach out and give us a call. And what a beautiful accidental introduction, right? Through John. An accidental, non-accidental, right? Like, that's how the world works. So
yeah.
So thank you so much for being on the show, and
thank you, Deborah.
This won't be the last time. So thanks, Dani.
Brilliant. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.